And the following teaching is entitled, Believe in Easter Surprises.
I want to welcome everybody here this morning and reintroduce myself to you. My name is Father Cedric. Cedric is my first name, and Pizania is my last name. And just to let you know, I'm not from another country with a name like that. I come from the United States. I come from Massachusetts originally. I'm originally from somebody else out there from Massachusetts? All right. A lot of people. Look at all this. I've been meeting people at the door from New England. I'm surprised that so many have moved to California. No, I'm not surprised so many have moved to California. I'm originally from a small town called Agawam, Massachusetts, right south of Springfield. And for the last 10 years, I have lived in Citrus Heights, Sacramento, just nearby here, at Christ the King Retreat Center. I am a Passionist priest, and I've been ordained now for about 11 years. Back in August, however, my provincial, that's our superior, decided to move me, and I've been transferred to Houston, Texas. So I now live out of, well, we've got some Texans here too, I see. I now live out of Houston, and my full-time ministry is to travel around the United States preaching. The reason why I'm here is because Father Cantwell, who used to be my next door neighbor, heard me preach a number of times, invited me to Holy Family where he used to be, and then one of the first things he did when he became pastor of Placerville was to invite me here for this Easter mission. And I'm so grateful to be here with you during this Easter time. So now I want to break open the word for you. You just heard the beautiful gospel about the road to Emmaus. And I want to begin by telling you a number of stories. We're trying to get you to come back now, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So this is going to be inspirational, and it's going to make your heart burn, and not your stomach burn, your heart, with the grace of God. So let me begin by saying the two disciples now were on the road. And that's a whole spirituality in itself. It's called the spirituality of the journey. And when you think about it, we're all on a journey. We're all on the way. I don't know if you knew this, but or know this. The earliest designation for Christians in the Acts of the Apostles was not Christian. It wasn't Catholic. It was from Acts chapter 9, and they were called the Way. That's what they called themselves, the Way. And that's because they believed they were on the way to heaven. And they followed the person who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to talk to you about the way here this morning. I heard a story about Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham, the great preacher and the evangelist. When he was a young man, he was in a town much like this preaching a mission. And he was walking down Main Street with a letter in his hand looking for the post office. He came upon a young 10-year-old boy, and he says, young man, he says, do you know the way to the post office? The young man says, sure, mister, just go down the street, and it's on the right-hand side. He goes, well, thank you very much. He said, I've got to tell you, my name is Billy Graham, and I'm going to be over at the First Baptist Church this week preaching about the way to get to heaven. I hope you can come. The young man kind of scratched his head, and he goes, I don't think so, mister. You don't even know the way to the post office. So the two disciples are on the way, and they're journeying down the road. Notice, this was a predominant theme in all of our scriptures. The first reading talked about, you will show me the paths of life. And the responsorial psalm talked about how God will lead us through the path of life. The second reading talked about how we are sojourners. And so the two disciples are walking along the way, but something I have to tell you, you may not have noticed this, they're journeying away from Jerusalem. Now, you probably don't know this. I read about this through the commentaries and my study of Scripture. In the Gospel of Luke especially, Jerusalem is a very favorable place. It's the place of the community. It's the place of prayer. It's the place of Pentecost. It's the place of mission. And notice where the disciples are going. They're going away from Jerusalem. They're going away from the community. They're going away from the place of mission. And the reason is because Jesus was crucified 3 days ago. And the Bible says that they were downcast. They were sad. They were disappointed. They were in despair. and they were moving away from the community. You know, I've been a priest now for about 11 years, and full-time in my ministry, I do these missions, and I get to travel to many different cities, many different towns, and preach. I've met tens and hundreds of thousands of people in my ministry, and basically, not to make a sweeping statement, but let me say this. I've basically decided that there are three different types of believers. The first type of believer is the one who rejoices that a mission is in town, rejoices that it's a parish retreat, and they're moving toward God. They will do anything and everything they can to get the word in them, to spend time in prayer, and to move toward God. The second type believer is the type that they're not really moving anywhere. They're kind of stuck. They're kind of staying the same, and they're stalled in their spiritual life. They're just there. You know, nothing's really happening. And the third type of believer is the type that's moving away from God. Perhaps they're in some type of sin. They're not really spending time in their prayer life, many of which are not even going to church. And basically, those are the three type of believers that I've found. Those moving toward God, those staying the same, and those backing up. And this is what we have here in the gospel today. The two disciples are moving away from Jerusalem. Now, the obvious question that I want to ask you here this morning as we begin our time of retreat, what kind of believer are you? Are you moving toward God? Are you kind of stuck in the muck here this morning? Or are you going backwards? Well, I believe that Easter is a time to go forward with God, to get deeper with the Lord Jesus. And this time of mission is meant to revive you and to strengthen you and to bring refreshment and revitalization into your hearts. So the first part of this gospel is this. The disciples are going away from Jerusalem. They're on the road. They're journeying away from the community. Now something happens. This is the second part. And the something that happens is this. Suddenly, and that's exactly how it occurs, suddenly you can be going one way and something will happen. And the suddenly that happened is that Jesus showed up. What I want to say is this. I don't know if you remember 2 weeks ago, you probably did, I was in Florida. 2 weeks ago today, it was Easter Sunday. And for many people, if you noticed, on Easter Sunday, the parking lot was crowded, people were standing all along the sides. You know, many people went to church. Well, for many people, Easter Sunday was it. They celebrated Easter Sunday, and then Easter was over. Not for our Catholic Church. Our church in her wisdom proclaims that for 50 days, in other words, until May 19th, until Pentecost, we celebrate the Easter season. Easter is not a day, it's a season in our life. You see, another word for it is mystagogia for the RCIA candidates who have been baptized and joined the church. We need time to soak in the mystagogia, the mystery of the resurrection. We need time to plumb the depths of the scriptures, to hear about the resurrection accounts. We need time to come to know the Lord Jesus in a deeper way during this resurrection season. And I believe that during the season of resurrection, we can encounter resurrection. We can have experiences of the risen Lord. And that's what this mission's all about, and that's what we're calling you to it. You see, anywhere, anytime, anyhow, Jesus can show up in your life. It can be as these disciples when you're taking a walk and looking at the beautiful spring flowers and listening to the birds. It can be when you're talking to somebody as these disciples were doing. It can be when you're sharing a meal as these disciples were doing. And especially, and this is what the church is proclaiming, you can come to have a resurrection experience as you come to Mass and hear the scriptures broken open and recognize Jesus in the breaking of bread. That's the ordinary place where the risen Lord occurs. Next to me, of course, is the beautiful Easter candle. It stands in silent vigil as a symbol of the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus Christ himself in our midst. Jesus himself walking among us. Jesus himself touching us with his resurrection life. And during this Easter season, remember now 50 days, I don't know what your Easter was like. I don't know what your last 2 weeks have been like, but I want to proclaim to you something. Believe in Easter surprises. I'm the type that, you know, the God that I worship is a God of surprises. He can show up, as I said, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. You can be walking, talking on airplanes, in cars, at church. Anything can happen when it comes to the resurrection. And I want you to believe, remember what Jesus said to the two disciples? He said, how foolish you are. How slow to believe what the prophets have said. In other words, I want you to believe this morning. I want to try to inspire your faith to know that he can show up in your life. That the resurrection wasn't just 2,000 years ago. And it wasn't just for these 11 apostles and these two going to the road to Emmaus. It's for you and me. And he wants to burn in our hearts with his awesome presence. He wants us to recognize all the places that he shows up in our life. And certainly he wants to raise us up. You see, once they had an encounter with Jesus, things started to change. I looked up that word encounter. Jesus showed up. They met him. And in the dictionary, the word encounter said, it's a meeting. And oh, don't you, when you come to church, don't you want to meet Jesus again? Don't you want to deepen your personal relationship with him and get over more in depth with the Lord Jesus? Don't you want to meet him afresh every day? That's why we're here. And in the dictionary, it had a nuance to the definition of a meeting for encounter. And the nuance was that not only is it a meeting, but it's an unexpected surprise. And that's what I believe about Easter. For you and me, it can be an unexpected surprise. So when the disciples met Jesus, they had this encounter, things started changing. And I love that because I believe in change. I believe that because of Jesus, things change, life changes, people change, and you can change. In fact, I've written 4 books. 3 of them are out. The 4th one's being printed very soon. And the 4th one is called You Can Change. I don't know about you, but Jesus has changed my life, and he's still doing it. And I want you to believe as you sit here today, whether you feel stuck in the muck or going backwards, that he can change you. That's what resurrection life is all about. And this is exactly what we have in this story. Once they encounter Jesus, you see, with Jesus and meeting him and an encounter with him, suddenly dreams can be reborn. Suddenly sadness turns to gladness. All of a sudden, disappointment turns to reappointment. Then discouragement turns to encouragement. And all of a sudden, moping turns to hoping. And it's all because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I don't know how you came in here today. Maybe you were upbeat and you're ready to sing hallelujah, or maybe something's going wrong in your life. Things aren't turning out like you wanted them to, and you're feeling really sad. And what I want to tell you is that because of Jesus, maybe you're sad because of the way things have been going, but he can turn you into being glad. Or perhaps you were discouraged. You know, sometimes when your prayer life doesn't seem to be working and nothing seems to be happening, and it feels like it's dull and dead and dry, and things just don't seem to be moving, you can become discouraged. Well, I want to tell you that during this Easter season, and I'm going to be preaching about prayer during the time of mission, your discouragement can turn into encouragement through the strength of Jesus Christ. And your prayer life can take a turn for the better. Or perhaps you're disappointed as you come here this morning. And a lot of people are disappointed in the church right now. As we flip on the TV and all we hear about is pedophile priests and cardinals that should step down and, you know, the church in crisis and everything else. Well, maybe you're disappointed. Well, I believe that this week through the mission and through the resurrection season, your disappointment can turn to reappointment through the power of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what was happening in the gospel today. These disciples went from sadness to gladness. They were going the wrong way, and Jesus turned them around. And that's a classic conversion story. You see, one of the first verses I ever learned from the Bible was John 10:10. John 10:10 is a verse that says, and it's Jesus' job description. He said, I have come that you may have life, and life abundant. Now, when he said that, he wasn't talking to people that were dead. He was talking to people that were already alive. He said, I've come to bring you something that you don't have. I've come to bring you something more than what you've already got. I've come to bring you resurrection life. And I don't know about you, but I want that life that Jesus came to bring, that gladness, that encouragement, that strength, that reappointment, that hope. See, that's resurrection life. That's life. And I want to talk to you about life this week and resurrection and having your prayer life renewed. Speaking of life, I heard this story about these three men. There was a a rabbi, a priest, and a minister. They were all sitting around and they were talking about life, and they were sharing their ideas about when life begins. The minister says, well, in our church, according to my religion, I believe that life begins at birth. Then the priest said, well, according to the Catholic Church, you know, my religion, I believe that life begins at conception. Then the rabbi says, oh, no, no, no. He says, according to my experience, I believe that life begins when the dog dies and the kids move out of the house. I see some of you have some children. So now there's three parts here. The first part is the disciples are going away from Jerusalem and they're sad and they're downcast. The second part is Jesus shows up and things change. Please get this here this morning. This is resurrection. And the third part, and this is the climax of the whole story, the disciples did a U-turn. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on the road and, you know, you're driving down the street and it says, you know, no U-turn permitted. Well, I want to tell you something. When it comes to the Bible, when it comes to Catholicism, when it comes to following Jesus, U-turns are permitted. Jesus is in the business of changing people. He's in the business of deepening our lives with Him. And He's in the business of raising people up from the dead. And what I want to proclaim to you today is that the two disciples were going the wrong way. And when they met Jesus, they turned around immediately. And they went back to Jerusalem, back to the community, back to the place of prayer, back to the place of mission. Their misery turned into mission. Their disappointment turned into reappointment. And their moping turned into hoping. And I'm praying this morning that you will get a hold of this message. You will get strong in the Lord Jesus, who wants to raise you up. And if you need to make a U-turn in your life, this is the time to do it. It's a season of resurrection. It's a season of revival. It's a season of renewal. All right, here's my last story as I let you go here. I heard a story about G.K. Chesterton, the great author, and he was kind of absent-minded, if you know that. He was on a train one time, and he was taking a journey. And the conductor came up to him, and he says, sir, do you have your ticket? He says, yeah, sure. He said, wait a minute, I can't find it. I must have lost my ticket. And the conductor said, well, that's okay, Mr. Chesterton. I know who you are. You're a man of dignity. You're a man of character. It's no problem. And he started to walk away, and G.K. said to him, he says, no, wait a minute, come back. I got to find my ticket. I don't know where I'm going. And that's exactly the way it is in the spiritual life. A lot of people don't know where they're going. You know, they're just kind of there. And I want to, again, confront you and challenge you. As you journey in your life, where are you going? Are you moving forward with God? Are you stuck in the muck and kind of stalled out? Or, let's be serious now, are you going backwards? You need to make a change. You need a U-turn in your life. Well, this is the time to do it. I'm going to invite you this week to make a move, to go forward with God. I'm going to invite you, especially during the season of resurrection, to believe. Believe in Easter surprises. Believe in Easter miracles. Believe that the resurrection is for you personally. And I'm inviting you this week, like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, to come encounter Jesus.
You've reached the end of this teaching.